The Money Show.
Business Unusual with Colin Cullis.
Here's the thing. I mean, there's disruption all the time. Some of it's positive, some of it's really negative. We're going through a massive period of negative disruption right now. But out of that, very often, I think always, history teaches us, comes huge advances and positivity for humanity. One example, to take you back more than 100 years, the discovery of vulcanized rubber changed the world. And I think you would agree that sitting in your car on lovely rubber tires, pumped up to, 240 or 270, whatever tires you've got, gives you a lovely, comfortable ride. And in an emergency, you're able to put your foot on the brake and stop fairly quickly. And so vulcanized rubber has been a good invention and has improved the lot of humanity. But for my wife's family, the invention of vulcanized rubber was disastrous. Her great-grandfather was a wheelwright on a big estate in Scotland before World War I. When the Lord of the Manor, because it was a very big estate, signed up to fight, he then said to the men who worked for him, well, you better come along with me. And off they went to the trenches in France, and they fought the war. And they came home, most of them, and while having a wheelwright in the trenches was incredibly useful, and the Lord of the Manor, I'm sure, was delighted to have his wheelwright there to fix the wheels of carts and cannons. And cannons in those days still had wooden wheels in the early stages of the war. But while they were fighting, there was this revolution in rubber technology. And by the time they got back to the estate after World War I, the great-grandfather was no longer needed. Mr. Dunlop had perfected the pneumatic tire, and he lost his job. He'd gone with his boss to go and fight World War I. That's the thanks you get. And then you get turfed onto the scrap heap of history because your craft is no longer required. Why do we need to talk tyres tonight, Colin Cullis, our Business Unusual correspondent? It is 100 and something years since the tyre was perfected.
It is. Well, I was watching a documentary about the global economy, and one of the episodes featured rubber and the stark warning that it's due for a collapse. And as you rightly pointed out there, the history of rubber is filled with exploitation, collapse, and innovation. And so naturally, I thought, well, let me read up a little bit more about this and off into the rabbit warrens that is the rubber industry for the last century. So starting with the name, the reason it was called that, the original tree comes from South America and has been used there for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Principally, you take the latex out of the tree, and there are many plants who produce latex, that white sticky stuff, and they would dip material in it and make it waterproof. But they did also, because they had fun in those days, took a ball of rubber and invented the first ball sport. They would bounce this thing around on their hips and have lots of fun. Anyway, when the European explorers came along and were having a look at all this various things that they'd never seen before, they took a piece of it back to Europe. And impressed no one initially because they just said, look at this. It's a piece of stuff that is bouncy. And the thing that caught on was they could remove pencil marks with it. And that's, why rubbing a piece of pencil mark, they said, ha, it's a rubber. That's what it is. And so that's how we got the original name. Then along comes the bicycle. And like those horrible wagon wheels, which are not comfortable to ride on, bicycles had terrible wooden wheels. And so one of the first applications of rubber was stick it on a wooden wheel and make it a little more fun. And then you pop across for that development for vulcanization. Well, actually, just before that, one of the other things rubber was found to be the perfect use for, talking of revolutions, was a steam engine rattles and thuds along a lot. But you need to get that effort, that energy transferred into mechanical energy to drive big spindles and drive shafts. And rubber belts were the perfect thing that had the flexibility and could withstand the temperatures and effectively allow us to create that first industrial revolution. As a consequence of which, rubber did seem to be this amazing product. And Charles Goodyear, a self-taught chemist in America, went about trying to find out what other properties may be discovered about this thing. And accidentally overcooked a piece of rubber that he was working with that he happened to add sulfur to and created this vulcanization, effectively keeping the elasticity of rubber but making it so much more hard-wearing. And then when Dunlop and these other guys started saying, hey, this will work again as a tire, and the motor industry came along, well, that's when it really did go crazy, because by the time Model T Fords had started flooding the streets, they'd really need a lot of tires. And that's when the big plantations, the sort of, let's call it the destruction of a lot of the Amazonian jungles to effectively replace what would have been very dense, very diverse jungles with single plantations, loads and loads of amounts of rubber trees, and lots of people every day having to go and tap the stuff created its first problem. Because much like this COVID scenario we're in now, where people could kind of see the perfect scenario being created where a virus could attack us, and if we have no defenses from it, and you know, we don't think about how we would protect ourselves, it can rapidly spread through the population and cause lots of harm. Well, when you have a single tree in a massive plantation that is susceptible to a leaf blight, then you can imagine what happened. So around about the 1920s, the first real collapse happened to rubber in South America. Of course, colonizing Europeans being what they are, they'd already started moving it off into Africa and Southeast Asia. In fact, Belgium's ruthless work in Congo was pretty much founded on the rubber industry. And the history alone there, you know, the Heart of Darkness and all those other books that have formed it, was really based on their willingness to extract rubber at any cost. And these days, that is still centered around Southeast Asia, where as a result of the world's demand for more rubber and the need to produce it in ever greater quantities, has seen more and more of the natural forests and jungles of that part of the world being converted to create rubber. And it has set us up for a scenario that even as the world automotive market has started to sort of ease off in terms of a flattening, only China really still having lots of growth for vehicles, it's setting us up for another perfect storm in that the demand is dropping, and so the prices are dropping. Certainly the long-term future prices are dropping, which means farmers need to get even more rubber to make up for what they needed. As a consequence of the falling prices and the demand for even bigger plantations is a lowering of the careful work done to make sure that they stay virus-free or fungus-free. And it appears right now that it's just not sustainable. Not only that, but this pandemic has obviously decimated the need for global travel and certainly airlines. And aircraft tires have to be made from natural rubber. The synthetic rubber was sort of developed and works pretty well. It is often used in conjunction with natural rubber when the oil boom came around, but it's made out of oil versus the natural stuff. And so we're really now sitting just waiting for the horrible storm to hit that says the rubber industry and all the knock-on effects might have for transport and that part of the world's economy is terribly bad. But like you say, whenever there is this looming crisis, there's usually a little glimmer of hope, a tiny little seed of innovation that could come across from it. Now, I think what a lot of people were hoping for is to say, we don't want a tree and have to wait 7 years to tap the stuff. It would be so wonderful if we could find something that grew like weeds and we could get the stuff from there. Well, the Continental Company has been working on something along those lines for the last 5 years and has managed to identify that the Russian dandelion is a pretty useful candidate for providing just such latex. And so for the last 5 years, painstakingly testing and growing and refining, they have managed to get to the point where they have tested their Continental tires on high-performance vehicles and managed to get the same amount of performance out of rubber from a weed.
How many dandelions do you need in order to make a single tire, I wonder? I mean, yes, there's a sap. If you ever chopped off the head of a dandelion, if you're a boy, you've done this with a stick. You see, there's a milky fluid that comes out of it, and that then is the stuff that rubber can be made from. It's astonishing.
That is exactly right, and you do need a whole lot. But then here again is the innovation. First of all, weeds grow in marginal land. So rather than having to remove prime sort of jungle that's got rich biodiversity and who knows what other amazing products are living inside them, you can start using marginal lands. And South Africa happens to be, thanks to its climate and the amount of marginal land we have, a pretty good place where we could be growing huge amounts of dandelion fields. But I think the real practical version of this would be them refining a version of it that is optimized for aeroponics. So this will be vertical farming, closed indoors to keep out all other things so you can reduce pesticides and any sort of chemicals that might be used. And because the latex is focused in the roots, growing it effectively in air and just spraying the roots with water periodically should allow them to actually harvest the root without killing the plant. So you get multiple harvests from a single root. Build a massive plant with a lot of plants, and you might start getting to the point where you can get enough rubber to sustainably start looking after it. But it also means we have to find a price that is not going to be exploiting people, because the level of exploitation of people to almost indentured slavery in Southeast Asia and other parts of the world is sort of the horrible secret about how rubber is currently working. And if we can go back to that original use that Europeans thought, let's call it a rubber because it was for fixing mistakes, then let's hope this is an opportunity with a weed for us finally to do it.
I love the use of weed in many things. Thank you, Colin Cullis, Business Unusual correspondent. The future of rubber simplified. But we'd have to, I suppose, we'd have to create lots of regulations before we could do it in South Africa. But it's nice to know that the scientists are thinking differently.